Watch Radio, representing East Coast Live Radio. We are out of New York tonight. I just can't believe this mic stand. I've had this mic stand for years. And it just... this mic stand has gone completely insane. I mean, I just... it's evil. Because I've had it for years and it's never been unbalanced. You know, it's freaked out. So, today is 5/21/16. We're going to be getting, you see that? See the mic? See that? Sit. I don't know what's going on with this mic stand. I just... There it goes. Just, see that? Unbelievable. This thing's gone. And it doesn't even make sense. I've adjusted it and everything. It's crazy. All right. Tonight, WWCR, praise God. Listen, many have asked about our mailing address. I guess some mail went back to people. Mail us at Watchman Radio, Rich Keltner, K-E-L-T-N-E-R. That's 47 West Lake Drive. Don't spell it one word, West Lake, because there's somebody else's house down the street with that address. So just make it West Space Lake, you know what I mean? And Drive. So 47 West Lake Drive. Patchogue, P-A-T-C-H-O-G-U-E, New York, 11772. Toll-free number. Some people have left messages for Faith Radio's on there. We got the messages. I'm right now batching up a batch, finally. So, toll-free number is 877-734-6327. 877-734-6327. Many of you have described your address like very carefully. So we don't ship them and they don't come back to the wrong address. So with this next batch we're getting out, please make sure you get your name in there so we get it out. Faith Radio, I listen to it every night. If you, I swear, if you would come by, you would see me listening to it at nighttime. I listen to it every night. I don't even think... stand by. I don't even think you could survive without a Faith Radio. I mean, it's a necessity. Constantly keep edifying yourself with the word. I'm going to touch on that in a minute, actually. Let me get Foss on the line.
F-O-S.
Yeah.
F-O-S.
What's going on?
What's going on with you?
Man, you're pegging the board. What do you got, a preamp going to your phone or something?
I'm doing what now?
You're coming in very strong on the mic.
Really?
Yeah, I lowered you a little bit. All right, so here's the story. In a few minutes, we're going to have Pastor David and Nona Grant, longtime evangelists for years. Have been around in revivals. Parents were involved in the great revivals in the 50s. And they have a lot to touch on, and we'll question them on some of that. So in the meantime, I want to touch on what I feel the Lord has impressed upon me. Now, shouts out to everybody on WWCR tonight. As you know, you can go to nextcrusade.com. From there, we have our archives, also donation link there if anyone wants to donate to the cause there. If you don't want to mail in snail mail like some of you have in the past. Either way is fine. You have the address and the toll-free number. Nextcrusade.com will take you to the archive menu. With that being said, I want to touch on some scripture in a minute. But I will tell you that last week we were venting about the homosexual bathrooms, whatever you call it, militant. What the heck's that clicking you got going on? You okay? Tom?
Yes.
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah. I'm just fooling around a little bit with the phone here.
All right. So last week we touched on the perverted bathroom. This is an abomination. Okay, it's all about perverting this country. And, you know, we see what he's trying to do with the schools now. Now, I will tell you that Target got slaughtered, okay, by Wall Street. People just started short selling it. Sell triggers, stop losses were triggered. You know what that is? That means you have a set loss on a stock and boom, it's out. Meaning, like say you bought into to Target at 60. Which was, you know, a good price. And then it went up to 80 and you felt pretty good. But then you set a stop loss on that stock. Automatic sell, meaning that you want to obtain some of your gains in case something catastrophic happened to that stock, that you weren't around to sell it manually, that stop loss would kick. It's automatic. So once these people started dumping the stock, shorting the stock, if you don't know what that is, that means that you don't own the stock, but you have an account and you have a good standing with a brokerage. They say, hey, look, dump that stock on us. Boom. They'll let you sell that stock. And then from there, on credit, you have to pay back that stock. You have to buy it back and replace it. It's a borrowing. That's short selling. So short selling is you're hoping the stock's going to go down, and then you buy it back and you replace it. And then you scrape the gains of the loss. It's, was it some type of demon? Getting some weird noises here tonight, man. This is going to be an interesting show.
Brown noise.
So again, that triggered, the stock got slaughtered. And if that's any indication, okay, to what's going to happen to other people that are going to follow suit with this militant homosexual, bathroom transgender, homosexual perversion agenda. There's going to be issues. You might as well just start dumping the stock. So that was a real indicator. With that being said, we're going to talk about Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. And it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, you can reap spiritual things in this world, everlasting spiritual revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual gifts, anointings, things of that nature, spiritual things. And what has happened in the cake, bake, flim, flam, flap church is they have promoted a worldly mindset, meaning to get gain now, making merchandise out of the people, like Peter said. It's exactly what's happening. people are rather seeking earthly things, looking to gain things of the world. And because of that, their mindset is off of the essence of the gospel. Okay. I want to touch on Galatians 5 now, okay, because this explains some things of the flesh that we got to get moved out of our lives. Okay, these are blockers. Let's call these blockers. Now, this is Galatians 5:19-21. Many of you know this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Big one. This is a big one. It starts with adultery. Interesting. Because adultery is very, very prominent in the church today. And you might say, well, how? Through lust, through marriage and divorce, on and on and on and on. This is very, very, very thriving. This is a big one, a big blocker. And you see leaders today, they'll just marry and divorce, marry and divorce, marry and divorce, marry and divorce. They keep going. And you might say, well, they got faith because they keep trying. No. That's not faith. That's called insanity. And they're always blaming the other party that everything failed. That's when you know there's something wrong with them. So adultery, fornication, we could go there. All types of fornication going on, sex outside the marriage covenant. You got these bedside erection things going on. Well, praise God, we knelt down and prayed and we're spiritually married. I mean, I've heard that for years. It's crazy. So there you are. You're damned for that. Galatians 5:19-21. You're not going to heaven. Says it right there. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. That's subtle. Before you know it, you can be idolatrous in a certain way of setting up an idol in your heart. Could be cars. Could be earthly things like they promote in the cake bake church. Better life now. You know, idolatry is very subtle. Before you know it, you're like, wow, maybe you are bound in that. Maybe that collection and all these things that you do, maybe that's idolatry. You can't have anything before the Lord. Sorcery, next. Hatred, this is just unbelievable. This, you read this and you're like, is anybody going to heaven? Probably not. Because everybody's hating everybody. You go on Facebook, there's 55,000 fights going on at the same time. Everybody hates everybody. If you had a knife and you were they'd be killing each other on Facebook. Biggest stumbling block today. I'm nuking my account, by the way. After this nomination, I'm done with it. I hate to say it, but I was on there to irritate a lot of Cruz supporters. It's done now, so I got nothing to do. Now, hatred, contentions, there you go. There's contention going on in these social medias. It says you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven there. What's that mean? I don't think it's good. You think it's good? Does it sound good? Not entering into the kingdom of heaven? I'm asking you. How good could that be? It says contentions. Jealousies. Next. Everybody's jealous. I'm coveting. They're coveting what this one's got. This one. What did he? Look what he's got. How come I ain't got that? Outbursts of wrath. Next one. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Heresies. Oh my God. Envy. Murders. We're getting a little bit more real here. But interestingly enough, drunkenness is listing next. Drunkenness and revelries, meaning just excessive drinking. Drinking a lot. And the like, of which I tell you, you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boom. period. Now, this is interesting because you're like, well, maybe Paul's lying here. That's the only other hope you have. That's the only thing you can wish for. If you don't forsake these, this is just some, there's worse. These are works of the flesh. Perversions are listed in here through lewdness. All these perversions that are going on today will keep you from the kingdom of heaven. Very important. Now, that's why it says the righteous scarcely make it. So, folks, the key is to put this down. Now, now for the good news. The good news is that we identify the enemy. You ever hear Trump say that? We need to identify the enemy and then we can deal with them. The biggest problem with Obama, what does he say? Is that he won't identify the enemy. And because of that, nobody knows who the enemy is. And because nobody knows who the enemy is, nothing ever gets done because there is no enemy. So Trump identifies them. As an analogy, he says, well, this is the enemy. Radical Islamic Muslim terrorists. Okay? That's the first step with dealing with something. So by targeting these issues of the flesh, we're identifying them. We're putting them in a target that we can watch for them. Next time you feel an outburst of wrath come. And Tom, let me tell you, when he first met me, I used to be a very rageful person. God has taken me a long way away from that. Right, Tom?
Yeah, I can remember some specific incidences.
Yeah, I mean, I would just get out of a car back, you know, when I was a baby Christian, like a couple weeks, I was still not delivered. And, you know, I would just jump out and attack people's cars and stuff. But I've come a long way from that, and I don't feel that anymore. I just praise the Lord. I'm just like, praise God, I'm not going to deal with it. So that's the key. Identifying it, asking God to deliver you of that, and by faith coming against it yourself, binding and rebuking these things, these spirits. Spirits attached to your nature. So now, sowing to the Spirit is the great thing about everything, because when we sow to the Spirit, we reap everlasting life. When we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. Sowing to the Spirit, we touched on, number one, run away from everything in Galatians 5:19-21. Real simple. Get that out of the way. Now, we know God is a spirit. He is a spirit. And we're created in his image, so we are spirit too. So when we worship the Lord, he asks us to worship him in spirit. When we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit and our spirit man are joined, and we enter into high worship and praise. Some people sing in tongues, which is a quick way of getting in the spirit. Some people just worship and praise the Lord and worship, which is another great way of getting into the spirit and to worship God into the spirit. And when we're doing that, we're sowing to what? The Spirit. And because of that, we're reaping everlasting salvation, everlasting hope, and everlasting things in this world as far as a spiritual covering in our life. Now, worshiping him in spirit, very important. Praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. Many of you don't pray in tongues. Some people do, some people don't. Praying in tongues, very important. You just start praying in the tongues during the day. Now there's prophetic tongues, which is interpreted, and there's edifying tongues, which sometimes you're just praying in the spirit during the day by yourself. But tongue interpretation of prophetic words in tongues are different. It's two different realms, edification in tongues and prophetic tongues and interpretation, two realms. So with that being said, praying in tongues, very important. Next, singing in the spirit, intercession, very important. This is really what I want to get at. Intercession is very important. And I would encourage folks today, if you can, make a list of people that you, even if you got two or three on there, make a list and start praying for those. So even put the most person you don't like on there. Start praying, asking God to bless that person. Just get a list going of people to pray for. That's all you got to do. Just do that every day. Start praying for those folks, asking God to reach into those people's lives. Now, there's other people that pray for, like, weird things to happen to people, like them to die and stuff and get sick. I'm not talking about that type of prayers. That's witchcraft prayer. I'm talking about people actually praying grace, you know, nice things. Okay, everybody wants everybody judged all the time. That's not the spirit of God, okay? So, this here, also praying for the sick. This is another one. We have to, these are all sowing to the spirit. Praying for the sick. You see someone sick, just pray for them. Just pray for them. Pray for as many people as you possibly can. I heard a testimony recently. This guy prayed for people 700 times. Nothing ever happened. Boom. After the 700, now he prays for people. People healed all the time. But he kept going. So keep praying for people. You don't know if you just knocked a layer of that sickness off somebody. You don't know if you just extended that person's life for another 2 to 3 months or a year. You don't know if you just bound that demon and suppressed it in a certain way where it's going to negate and dissipate and dissolve incrementally and go back to the pit in stages. You just don't know. So step out in faith and pray for those that are sick. Number three, casting out spirits, very important, and not being done enough. These are all spiritual things. Last one, of course, is preaching the gospel, the simple message of salvation. Real simple. Real simple. So with that being said, I'm going to hand the mic to Tom, and then we're going to get the Pastor Nona and David Grant on in a minute. So, Tom, would you reflect on this? I know you have a lot to say on this topic.
Yeah, this was an interesting topic when Richard called me up today to speak on, because it has been something that God's put on my heart for our nation, and what he's put on my heart is for our nation is revival, that we might see, and revival is really just, you know, sowing into the spirit in a way that compensates for perhaps all the sowing that there has been into the flesh. And so the idea is that you, there be select individuals to start out with who will feel perhaps a need for revival, perhaps in their own life, in the life of their church, maybe in the life of their state or whatever. And so I ended up purchasing a book on a Kindle book called Handbook of Revival. It was actually written back in the 1800s about revival. And so one of the chapters talks about means and methods of revival. So I was reading that chapter the other night, and what it talks about is there's things you can do that you can sow toward a revival. And a lot of the things that you would sow toward opening up a door to revival in your own life, in your church, in the state, in the nation, has to do with things that they did back in the 1800s. We can do the same thing today. And they found out that when they did these things, either corporately or individually, that a door would open and the Spirit of God would descend in that area and there would be real revival. God began to show up in a way that he hadn't showed up perhaps for years. People, backslidden people came back to the Lord. Marriages were healed. New jobs opened up. And the presence of God showed up because these people determined to sow good into the spirit, because they had seen so little. There's been so much. I think one characteristic we might see in the church today that some people don't really pinpoint has to do with apathy. In other words, yes, I go to church, and no, I don't go into those terrible things in Galatians, and I practice some of those good things. It's kind of middle-of-the-road Christianity. The problem with middle-of-the-road Christianity today is the devil's out in full force. He's out in music. He's out in the movies. He's out in world entertainment. And if the church is just middle-of-the-road, you're going to get pushed off the fence. You know, you're going to either be on one side or the other in the age that we're in right now. And so there is a need for revival in our own personal lives. in the lives of the church in order to be able to stand in a victorious way relative to where the world's heading. So they're talking about doing this there. And one of the things they suggest here is on the part of the church, the putting away of all known sin. Well, you can take that into your own life. Think about, well, where am I compromising? You know, what kind of things am I doing that, you know, if I was an on-fire believer, I would be doing that. And I began doing this recently. I noticed that I have a lot of, I really like music. And so there's some worldly music groups that I really like, and they're very good. And I said, you know, Lord, if I was in revival mode, I would primarily prefer, you know, Christian music. So I decided I'm going to just dedicate this whole day to listening to good Christian music. And I just filled myself up with Christian music all day long. You know, by about 4 hours later, I found myself with a desire to witness. Here I was going through a checkout line, and I hadn't desired to talk to anybody about Christ in a sincere way in perhaps a year or two. And all of a sudden, I had this desire to witness to the guy who's checking me out at the counter. And then I went outside, and this excitement to talk to others about the Lord began to blossom in my life, primarily because I was spending my time sowing into the Spirit by listening to good Christian music, not necessarily good heathen music. I mean, they do have both, you know. And this was stirring up something in my spirit. That night, I had a dream from the Lord. And in the dream, I was conducting my first revival. And God's been calling me to have revival meetings. And so as a result of sowing into the Spirit, listening to spiritual, good spiritual music, I was reaping, you know, more of an open door to the things of God, a desire to witness, a desire to have a meeting, and these kind of things. And when Rich called me today, I had done something similar. I was reading this book. It's called The Means and Methods of Revival. And it says, you know, we don't have to just, some people make revival so spiritual that they have to just wait and see if the clouds are right or the sky or the sun is setting correctly or this is the time of the month. But it's not that way. They're saying revival is something that God wants going on all the time, because usually in revivals, many people get saved. Many people turn back to the Lord. So they discovered that if you would begin to give yourself to the things that please the Lord, if you began to sow into the Spirit, like separating yourself from worldly activities, giving yourself to more time in the Word of God, you know, repenting of things that you know that are maybe a gray area with the Lord, that when you do that, this pleases the Lord. And the Lord begins to show up in a way, in a powerful way, perhaps hasn't shown up in your life or the life of your church in the past. And this often begins to lay the seeds of a genuine revival. And so this whole idea that Rich presented to me about wanting to talk about, you know, sowing good seed ties in very strongly with the fact that here in the United States of America, one nation under God, we need to have a revival. I don't believe that we need to be one nation under gay marriage or one nation under abortion or one nation under radical Islamic behavior. I think we need to be one nation under God, and then the walls of protection, as we give ourselves to walk with Him, the walls of protection will go up around our nation, and we don't even have to fight for those things because He'll fight for us. Because as long as we love Him, He's going to only have our best interests at heart. And so that's the thing that God put on my heart, is the importance of me sowing, you know, good spiritual seed so that, you know, the Lord will be pleased. And then many of the things that we think we have to take care of with voting and politicians, God will take care of those. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, not seek second or third or fourth, but first. And then all these things, all the things that everybody else chases after, a good government, good money, nice car, this, that, and the other, they're going to run you over. The blessings, you'll be run over by the blessings. And wouldn't that be nice, instead of chasing the blessings, having the blessings chase you? And so I felt like the subject that Rich wanted me to speak on about sowing good, really tied in very strongly with what God has been showing me in the last, the last day. And then I had an exceedingly exciting dream the other night where I was actually leading a revival. But it wasn't like I was striving to do it. I was in the rest of God. I mean, I was at great peace, and I had inner conviction that everything I was doing was fruitful, and God promised me some rewards if I'll go out and do this. And in the dream, I had no doubt about the rewards. I said, this is a piece of cake, you know, not, you know, the kind of cake that, that Rich is talking about, you know, but the piece of cake of, you know, being able to fulfill the calling of God on your life and do it with confidence and do it with joy. And so what I read that day, you know, turned into a dream that God showed me, and I had the confidence, and it was quite good. It was like between waking and sleeping at the same time. You there, Rich?
Yes, I am here. Oh. We're going to get Pastor David and Nona Grant on. Stand by, unit. Amen.
Amen.
Ale broko. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Ring and run.
Hello.
Hey, Pastor David.
How you doing?
You hear me okay?
Good.
Okay.
How's things going?
Pretty good. You're live. We are live. And is Nona with us?
Nona is with us right now.
Praise God. Pastor David and Nona Grant have been on Watcher Radio many years. We are live on Watcher Radio tonight. And we just want to touch on a little bit. Now, you know, we have Tom on the Time Bomb. Tom, I don't know if you know him.
No, I don't know.
You don't know Tom?
I don't know Time Bomb Tom.
Okay, Time Bomb.
But one thing, Richard, I think we're facing a time bomb.
Well, that's why we call him Time Bomb Tom. He's been talking about America going down since 88, I think. But with that being said, you guys have encouraged me to stay focused in a revival type mindset, even when I wasn't. And I will reckon that I believe you're accurate with that, because I believe we're going to see an outpouring. And I know, you know, Tom is very interested in a lot that you have done over in the past. And, of course, you've seen great miracles through Branham and others years ago. I don't know. Were you at a Jack Coe meeting, too?
I was in one Jack Coe meeting years ago back in the 50s in Sacramento, California.
Yeah, so you've seen real miracles, let's face it.
I saw one in my dad's church where a man's broken leg was instantly healed. It happened on a Friday, compound fracture.
Wow.
He went back to work Monday, and his leg was totally healed.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So God can do it.
Oh, yeah.
God can do it. God can do it. Now.
Yes, and he's going to.
He's going to. He's going to.
That's right.
And I would say this, that with your experience as revivalists, and you guys know how to move in the Spirit, and you're prayer warriors. And Tom is stepping out, believing for a revival this year, and I'm with him on that. I think we're going to start doing meetings again.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be great at one time doing a meeting with you guys, too. Amen?
Okay.
But in your experience in getting a the revivals that were taking place in the 50s, let me say it this way. Did that, in your opinion, happen rapidly? Or was there a step-up process where there was just a few and then others started to copy and get tense and go forward? Or was it, how did it happen?
Well, actually, Richard, to answer that question, I don't exactly know for sure how to answer it. It appears to me that it was a season, for one thing.
Wow, I feel kind of smart that I asked a question that nobody could answer. That's like the first time I've ever done that.
I see God works in seasons.
Yeah.
And it was a glorious time, and all of a sudden it waned.
Well, actually, Richard, you know, back in that day and age, and also right around the late 40s, the 50s, there was a move of God of the Latter Rain yeah. movement. And while some of it maybe got a little somewhat off base, yet there was a move of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, and
so it was a season. You discerned there was definitely a season.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It appears to me that it was a season, and for whatever reason, and I do believe that if the reason that the season began to wane was because became more apathy in the church. The televisions came more, became more popular, and things began to feed in. And I don't know if people just lost a hunger for the things of God more.
I think the flesh entered in too.
So, you know, there's things that could actually probably enter into it.
All right. So that's interesting you mentioned that. I think Tom mentioned that earlier. So. With that being said, are you discerning that we could be entering into a similar type season very soon? I know you guys have been standing in faith for that for many years.
Well, okay, here's what I see right now, and I was asked to speak last night in a gathering a ways, and so we were up there and we drove a few miles. And in a gathering last night, and something that came to me just not too long ago, and it was during the night, and even though I'd read this passage before, something was just somehow re-quickened to me during the night. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and it was in the book of Haggai where it speaks about that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Now, let me just say this, and I pointed out last night to the group of people that we were ministering to, we are in the tail end of the third 2,000-year dispensation of time. Now, I want you to just follow me for a moment. I want to throw something out to you. And we're in that third period of the 2,000-year period of time.
The dispensation of the Holy Spirit.
The dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first 2,000 years from Adam, at the tail end of that, it may not be right at the 2,000-year break, but it was toward the end of that, all they had was dew, and that's what watered the earth, and then came a tremendous inundation of water by a flood. And so the world experienced an inundation of water by the flood. The second 2,000-year period of time from Adam... From Abraham, to Calvary, to Jesus, there was the shedding of blood, all the shedding of blood of goats and of the animal sacrifices, and then came the supreme sacrifice with Jesus shedding his blood. Now, I would like to point out that in both of those 2,000-year periods of time, the greatest testimony and the greatest influence, the greatest testimony of each of those 2,000-year periods of time was at the end. Now, we've entered the dispensation of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that the power of the Holy Spirit came. The early church was the infant. It was the early church. I personally believe that we are going to see the greatest witness of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit as we approach the end of the age and the coming of the Lord. And I believe we're in that time frame right now. And I believe the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, according to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9. And I believe we're going to see God is going to do something so marvelous and so fantastic. But let me just say this. As I pointed out last night, there's something that precedes this. And what we're facing right now, and I believe I wouldn't be surprised we're going to see the fulfillment almost of this breaking forth any day, and that is God is going to do some massive shaking. And I think it's going to hit the economy. It's not going to just hit the economy. It's going to hit our nation. God's going to do some literal shaking, and God is going to do the shaking. The shaking is going to precede the glorious revival that we're going to see. As a matter of fact, I have an article here from David Wilkerson back in January of 2008. And he said here, how is this last revival going to happen? It requires something powerful, something world-shaking to precipitate it. And then he also said, we can pray for revival, we can cry out to God to pour out his Spirit, but it is impossible unless the Lord first shakes all things. And I have a strong witness to that. And Haggai bears this out. I believe right now, and this year, I tell you, before this year comes to a close,
we're still in the Shemitah year, you know, the judgment.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And I'll tell you what, if it happens, in the next 24 hours, next week, 2 weeks, month, 2-3 months, I believe we're in that time when God is going to do some massive shaking, and this is going to precipitate the move of God.
Interesting. So, I will say this, that you guys are optimistic. So, obviously you're not talking about the complete devastation, but...
No.
But it's going to be, but God's, the world is going to sit up and they're going to see the true church is not going to be a defeated church in these last days.
Amen.
And God's going to show his glory.
The church right now, Richard, is not flowing in the Spirit.
Yeah.
There's no power of the Spirit. There's no authority. They're going through a lot of motions. There's a lot of quote-unquote Spirit. It's like a pep club, but there's not the Holy Spirit. Mm. And this is what the Lord is going to, this is what revival is all about, to revive the works of the Holy Ghost. And that starts in me.
And you know, well, let me just say this, and revival, Richard, is not a pep rally. It's not a rah-rah. It's not a bunch of hype.
Pushing everybody, yeah.
But it's going to be a sovereign move of the Spirit of God.
Mm. Well, maybe the shaking could be something like, you know, Trump being elected and rounding up all Muslims and deporting them, and maybe getting rid of all the liberals in America.
Well, you know,
that would be good.
You know, whatever shape
that's shaking to me.
However it shapes up. Well, I'll tell you one thing: it's coming. I know it's coming. Just as much as I know I'm talking to you, we're facing a real shaking.
Yeah.
Let me.
I just wanted to mention that in the dream that I had last night, where I was leading a revival, and I was in the rest of God. There was no anxiousness. No worry,
it's
no
time
concern,
bomb,
just a strong confidence that what I was doing was of him. But I also remember when you started bringing that up, sometimes you don't remember all of the dream, but I do remember hearing in the dream or knowing in the dream that no revival was like what was taking place. It had never happened to this degree of glory in the past.
Mm.
Okay.
That's confirmation.
I have no trouble with that.
We heard a gentleman that was one of the ringleaders in a great move of God in the Mennonites in the 50s.
Yeah.
And during this time, I mean, here was a young people getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit that were totally foreign to it. You know, just all of a sudden it was a sovereign.
As a matter of fact, they were opposed. They were opposed to the baptism of speaking in tongues, but God overrode the thing.
And he mentioned one time in the book that we read, and we met the gentleman that gave the prophetic word, too, that up till that point in the 50s, he said everything that had happened as far as Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was comparable to 2 drops in a 10-quart pail.
Mm.
And it's going to be filled to overflowing.
Interesting.
And you look at what's happened back in the 50s and Azusa Street and all these different things that have happened, even the day of Pentecost. It said from Pentecost till that point in the 50s was only 2 drops. And so when you think of that, and, of course, one of our favorite passages with the United States is Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah, there's going to be a shaking there.
There's going to be a shaking there.
There's going to be shaking tremendous.
And it mentions in there that the whole world is going to know that there's a God in Israel.
They're going to know.
Which America is the key person. And then at the very end it says he's going to pour out his Spirit on the whole house. And so with this in mind, we're going to see some phenomenal things. And I think the shaking has to come to break the hard shell.
Yes.
To break, because man is so efficient and so capable, and with all the electronic stuff we have, we can just about do anything we want. And my husband said a while back, he said, one of the reasons we don't have revival is because we're content without it. We can do without it yet. And so God is going to bring us back to the point that all we have is to turn to Him and allow the Holy Spirit back into our midst.
You see, there was a little bit of movement that took place in 911, just temporary, a small surge. But something is going to take place so massive.
It's not going to quit.
It's so massive, it's going to far supersede 911, and we're going to see it, and because God is going to get our attention big time. But out of it is going to produce a real move of the Spirit of God.
Something is going to have to change our political system, because if we elected, this is according to me, if we elected a man that was really Spirit-filled and in tune with God to be our president, he still couldn't turn this nation around. There's such a bunch of corruption in the political system. And it would take forever for him to get it turned around. And the whole world, it would be just an impossible thing. We're to the point of no return as far as politically. The reason people are interested in politics is because of, quote-unquote, the economy, which means money.
Money.
And our nation is worshiping the golden calf, not only in the nation, but in the church as well. And so what it's going to take is something that the Holy Spirit is going to do, and only He is the only one that can bring this nation back around and bring true revival.
Well, I got to tell you that I believe that there has to be a change in the political system, and I believe Donald Trump is that change.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
And for getting it started, he can, and he may precipitate so much animosity or something like this that our country will come under, we feel, very severe attack, and then our nation will turn back to God, because it, in George Washington's vision, I think it is, it says that our nation is well nigh overcome, and heavenly beings help us.
See, this election this year
is crucial.
Is crucial. It's the strangest election I've ever seen, and God, it hasn't taken God by surprise, we just continue to look at things and watch things, and because. I believe this year is such a very, very serious year, and I believe that we're facing something this year that it may happen this year. I do not know, but I think we're getting very, very close to it.
Well, there was a prophetic word recently that Donald Trump would be a shaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
well,
Tom? Time bomb, Tom? Didn't you have a...
Donald Trump is the only person in all the years that I've been a believer and known about voting for presidents. I have never seen anybody receive as many prophetic words and personal dreams from prophets talking about Donald Trump and the future presidency. Neither have I seen anybody take as much of a hit who's, I would say, not a super duper Christian, but he's not a backslidden apostate believer either. And I would say Cruz stood for the backslidden apostate portion of the church, whereas Donald Trump stands for the hope of the church. And I believe because he's a good government politician, successful man, but I believe if we want to see America become great again, it's going to have to be a new man in the presidency and a revival in the church. That will make America great again.
Yes.
Well,
that's right.
You see, and so God is aware of all these things, and so... If these prophetic words, just like you said, there's about the prophecies that have gone forth, and if this be true, it's going to make things very, very interesting this fall.
Yeah, well,
he's going to stir the pot and get things going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping. I hate to say it, but I believe I would like to see him arrest Obama. You know. Mainly for bringing his wife, who is a man, into the White House. I think that was bad.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, you see, the corruption, the degree of corruption.
Yeah, like that could be, listen, that could be uncovered. Trump is there. Trump will uncover these. Listen, this is weakened Pence on these, the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we might see Hillary in jail. Okay?
See, that's what God's going to deal with, sin in our nation.
And you see, who knows where this thing may be going. See?
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it because this is like an answer to prayer for me. Because after this 8 years of this abomination in there, and now, you know, putting this confusion in adolescent children is just terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean,
and all the other stuff is still going on. None of it stopped.
You got the homosexual marriage. You got militant homosexuals are empowered more than ever. And now you got children. They're like, well, I'll go pee with girls now. Mm-hmm. And then the girl's like, we'll go pee with the boys. And then everybody's confused. It's like a Babylonian spirit.
Oh, it is. You talk about confusion.
Looking at America as a Christian nation leading us into triumph, and that's God's name's in on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. See, and never has our nation been so depraved as it is right now.
Amen.
It's just absolutely pathetic to see where we're at, and so God, it's going to take divine intervention to turn things around.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, and a start of it would stop. I hate to say, but I don't think we should let Muslims into this country. I'm not a prejudice or anything. It's just that they worship a demon.
Well, you know.
So I don't want them bringing any more demons over here right now.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let us into their country.
That's what I'm saying. You know, and I don't understand why Mexico is calling us racist, okay, for wanting to have a border. And then mm-hmm. you go to Guatemala, they got a giant wall over there.
Mm-hmm.
The hypocrisy is just over the top, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. See, so what a time we are living in right now. And so I really feel this year, you know, I've said this to people before. You know, we try to live an ordinary life, but yet these are not ordinary times. And so while we try to live somewhat of an ordinary life, I realize, man, these are not ordinary days.
Mm.
They're not right. ordinary days, and we just need to, and how we need to just keep our eyes and our ears open and certainly stay alert to the Holy Spirit individually.
Amen.
You know, Richard,
yes.
I was telling David in the car today that the foundations, the very foundations of our country and of the church have been destroyed. All the godly principles that we've built on, the church is allowing all sorts of stuff in the church to be politically correct. Our nation is gone to pot, and the Bible says, what are the righteous going to do if the foundations be destroyed? If you took your house and removed the foundation, what would happen to the house?
Crumble.
It would shake and fall apart and crumble. And this is what I think David is referring to when he talks about the shaking. There is no way we can stop it from coming because the foundations are gone right now. God's going to come in with a bulldozer and clean the whole thing up and then rebuild. And we'll
listen,
have
listen
a glorious...
That, listen. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Here we go. All together. Let's go.
Shake, rattle, and roll. Shake, rattle, and roll.
I remember that from my waitressing days in a restaurant.
That's it. Back in the day, good food wasn't GMO.
Yeah.
That was GMO.
A prophetic word about Trump. Said she heard the Lord singing Shake, Rattle, and Roll about what's going to happen as he pursues the presidency.
See?
Well.
And he wants to restore some of our foundation.
Well, so, I will tell you, Nona, that the list that he put out mm-hmm. of the justices that he wants to have get vetted mm-hmm. Are very, very, very conservative in the aspect that they are anti-militant homosexual. Mm-hmm. They are anti-abortion, meaning overturning it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also anti-gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, radically. So, with that being said, I mean, if we got two or three of those justices on there, this country could be turned around. It could be turned around quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
In the natural, he's really facing opposition, boy, I tell you. But, you know, God
will get him in there. If that
God knows what to do and how to do things.
I agree.
Absolutely.
He knows better than us, I believe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's a time when the cup of iniquity is full.
Yes, yes, and I got to hand it to you. You know, you guys nailed it years ago that there would be revival, and I'm with you on that now. I was against you at one time. I remember I fought you on it.
I remember.
A couple years ago. I'm like, no, it's over. You guys, it's all going down. Remember? But now I'm like, you know what? We got to witness, preach, proclaim, enter in, cast out demons, pray for the sick. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, that's right.
And we're going to have great opportunity to do that, Richard. We're going to see miracles, miracles, miracles.
Yes.
And medical science is not in existence anymore, controlling our country the way it is. And even though they do help some people, that's good. But as a result, our one son says major medical, minor miracles.
Yeah.
Well, if major medical is removed, then we're going to have to turn back to God, and he's going to be our Savior. Our
Amen.
Salvation.
I agree with that.
Well, praise yeah. God. So.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, we just got to keep our eyes upon the Lord,
yes.
You know, in this hour, and just see what God's going to be doing. I'll tell you what, because God is going to be doing some grand and glorious things. And I'll tell you one thing. I probably have said this on the to you before, but we're living in a time of suddenlies.
Amen.
And things can change so fast overnight, and things can change so quickly.
Mm.
But I do believe that a massive, massive shaking is coming. I believe this, and according to the Word, we're gonna see a tremendous shaking.
I agree.
Frankly, Richard, I don't think we have long to wait.
No. Well, listen, I'm hopeful right now,
I'm actually happy.
I'm happy good. Because I really want to just see these libtards so upset in a way. God forgive me, but I do.
Well,
you know, I don't know why. I know that's wrong. But it does say in Scripture that you will, you know, behold with your eyes the recompense of the wicked, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I could do that on TV, watching them get hot-headed about things.
Well, in Proverbs, it says that the Lord is going to laugh at their derision and mock when their fear comes.
There you go. Not that I want anything bad to happen to anybody. But on the same token, I don't like their agenda. I don't like what's going on in this country at all.
No.
Oh, man.
So... But we're
and both David and I have talked recently, and I think the word to your audience is be filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, know the voice of the Spirit greater than you ever have before. And that takes that takes discipline in your thinking. You just can't get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, have a little devotional, and go out and do your own thing. We've had to learn to discipline our mind to think the thoughts of God and the Scripture all day long.
Yeah. I don't even go to the movies anymore. The movies are so lame. If there was good movies, I would be tempted. But they're just so terrible. You know?
I've never gone to a movie in my life.
They're just terrible movies. You know, Axeman and superhero dudes. You know, it's all lame.
I like
007. You know?
My dad told me when I was a kid, we couldn't go to shows. Going to movies were a sin. And he said to us, he said, how can you pour clean water out of a dirty pitcher? He said, anything that comes out of Hollywood is rotten. So I've never been to a show in my life.
Yeah, you're better off.
But I will tell you this, we're at the top. Can you, can you give your email stuff of nature of your...
Yeah, go ahead, Nona.
It's Grant NC, like North Carolina, Grant NC at Juno.com.
GRANTNC at Juno.com.
Juno was like the first email server that ever existed.
That's one for the radio.
In 1997, I think it came out.
We've got a private one, Richard, that we don't give out.
I didn't think Juno was still around. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
But Pastor David, Nona Grant, thank you.
Okay.
For being on tonight and watch radio, and we'll see you soon. Amen?
Okay. So keep believing, brother.
God bless you.
Happen.
And
okay.
Keep me in prayer. Put me on your list.
God bless. I will.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. Praise God. Foss, are you there?
Yeah, did she say Grant at Juno.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was NC, though. Yeah, like North Carolina. North Carolina!
NC Grant.
Grant
is that
yeah.
where they're from, North Carolina?
No, I think they were, but they moved. They're in Arkansas.
Yeah, you almost had a little, a revival meeting there, getting so spiritual.
Yeah, we're about getting off the air, so praise God. Watch radio. See you next week. By the grace of God, we love you. Tom loves you a little, but the Lord loves you the most. And we'll be back next week after you've had some toast. Oh, my God. That was a weird rhyme. Good night, everybody. Peace.